Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, September 14th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as we wrap up this week of full shows on Bang the Book Radio. Two guests will join me here today. The first, Wes Reynolds, at Wes Reynolds, the number one on Twitter. You know him from when we had him on Wednesdays last year. We'll get him back on Wednesdays beginning next week, but he wanted to come on and be sort of my the guy that I bounce everything off of here for the Westgate Super Contest. Week two coming up, lines already out. We'll recap how we did in week one, take a look at some of the numbers for week two, and then also my picks for week two in the Super Contest. Wes has a group entry in that, so we'll get some of his thoughts on that tournament format, strategies, things of that sort. Second half of today's show, Brent from DSI Sportsbook will join us with this week's version of the Odds Report. He'll give you some insight on where the sharp money is in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. We'll talk about where that money came in, where those lines are going, then, of course, where those lines may go as we get closer to kickoff. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. We've got power ratings for college football and the NFL. We've got NBA and NHL team previews, daily Major League Baseball content. We've got a preview for UFC Fight Night 136, both NASCAR races, which are this weekend in Las Vegas. We've got golf with the Tour Championship next week. We'll have a Ryder Cup preview out next week as well. NFL Daily Fantasy. We truly are your one-stop shop. We've got it all over at bangthebook.com. Make sure you check out our free pick contest where you can win some cash prizes, put together a streak, or if you win those monthly contests, you'll get some cheddar put into your account for that. Also, make sure you check out our sportsbook reviews. We've got a lot of different sportsbooks reviewed over at bangthebook.com. Exclusive promo codes for all of those different outlets that are out there, including our review for DSI Sportsbook. And of course, as you know, you can sign up over at DSI with that promo code BANG100, get 100% deposit bonus for the sportsbook over at BetDSI, where it's only a game until you bet it. All right, recording this on Thursday afternoon here, so some things may kind of move around a little bit with some of the stuff that we talked about here on today's show. So I do just want to make sure that you're aware of that. Obviously, you're hearing this here on Friday morning. As far as the Super Contest goes, I just want to throw out this disclaimer real quickly that, you know, because we record this on Thursday, because picks for us as a premium client of Vegas Maddie over there at footballcontest.com, our picks aren't due in until 10 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday. So some things may change based on injuries, based on new information, based on line moves, stuff like that. But I will rarely, basically never, go against the side of a game that I talk about here on the show. So, for example, I like the Steelers this week. I'm not going to all of a sudden play Kansas City unless, you know, like Big Ben breaks his leg or something like that. So just wanted to throw that disclaimer out here today because we don't record this show on Friday mornings. We do it on Thursday evenings to accommodate Brent's schedule there as the risk manager from DSI. So just wanted to throw out that little disclaimer here. So, you know, just so you know that if lines sound a little bit different, if there's an injury or something like that we don't touch on, it's not because we're skipping over them. It's just because we didn't know it at the time that we were recording. So with that, the first segment I recorded here for this Friday edition of Bang the Book Radio is with Wes Reynolds, at Wes Reynolds, the number one, with my Westgate Super Contest selection segment. All right, I'm joined now by Wes Reynolds, at Wes Reynolds, the number one on Twitter, for this week's Westgate Super Contest selection segment. Wes, how's it going today, man?
Great, Adam. Long time no talk. It's good to talk to you again and wrap with you on the podcast here.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you joining me here, and good to chat with you as well. And the plan right now for our listeners out there is to hopefully get Wes back in that Wednesday time slot, hopefully starting next week. But, you know, I guess he really did miss the show, so he wanted to come on this week, chat a little bit of Westgate Super Contest for week two. Wes is in the Super Contest as part of a group entry, so he does have a little bit of skin in that Super Contest game as well. We'll go ahead and recap what happened in week one. 8,106 winners, 6,351 losers, little over 1,000 pushes with that Seattle-Denver game, 56.1% in the traditional Super Contest, 55.7% in the Super Contest Gold. Our entries here, our bangthebook.com gold entry went 4-0-1. We're tied for second in that. We had a 3-1-1 and a 2-2-1 in the traditional Super Contest in week one. So, you know, Wes, from week one to week two, it's a pretty dramatic difference. I mean, a lot of times we look for overreactions. There are some of those out there in the betting market. But week one is so challenging because those numbers are up forever. a lot of the value winds up getting extracted from those games. Feels like it's an almost completely different contest when you start with week two.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, you're not only seeing it with the NFL, you're also seeing it with college. And, you know, kind of the old mantra that we used to hear, and it was relatively true, is that the bookmakers aren't as sure of their numbers either as the bettors aren't sure necessarily of their numbers. But now that I think that they've put these lines out, I mean, it used to be for college football, you'd have your games of the year, a couple properties would put those up, and then others would follow suit. But you would just have those. You wouldn't have the full card up maybe until like 2-3 weeks before the actual week one would start. But now you're getting these lines so early, and they've been betting into them all summer, you know, for 2 and 3, and with the NFL, even 4 and 5 months after the draft. So the value does really get extracted, and it's really hard to kind of find your traditional 11 to 10 winners on sides and totals, and sides for our purposes here for the Super Contest. But so that forces you in terms of when you're betting out of pocket to maybe look at different ways in terms of maybe playing first half, second half, quarters, team totals, more derivative type stuff.
And one of the things that's so interesting about the Super Contest here, and we touched on this a little bit last week, and this will be a point that we drive home throughout the season here. These numbers come up on Wednesday evening, Wednesday afternoon out there in Vegas. I think it's generally about 4 o'clock local. These numbers come out. And they don't move. Unlike the regular betting market, which is liquid, which is always in motion, the Super Contest numbers don't move. And I think that, you know, this is a game that obviously I could talk about, and it could wind up on my card depending on what happens with the quarterback situation for Green Bay. But one of the challenging things about setting these Super Contest numbers is that they have to put a number out. Now, I do know that over in the Nugget contest, they didn't put up a number for Texans, Titans, or Vikings, Packers because there was no number out in the market. They didn't bother putting those up. They can do that because they have college games. The Super Contest cannot do that. So Green Bay this week, maybe they know something that the rest of us don't. Green Bay is +7 against Minnesota at home. Now, if Aaron Rodgers plays, this is easily going to be probably the number one pick for the consensus this week in the Super Contest. But this is something they have to do because they have to put up every NFL game.
Yeah, no doubt. And I only see, looking at my Don Best screen, there is one offshore that had Green Bay up right now, and I'm sure they're not taking great limits on it because of the uncertainty, that had, I believe, Green Bay -1, -$1.05, reduced juice. And that's the only thing that I've seen up. So, I mean, you almost have to kind of include that in your entry. I mean, if you're getting 7 at home with Aaron Rodgers, even against a really good Minnesota defense, who I think is a legit contender in the NFC. So, I mean, it's like, what do you do? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because it's like you don't want to be able to miss on that type of value. But, you know, it's kind of like, okay, if it loses, do you kind of take one for the team, knowing that a lot of people are probably going to play that entry.
Well, and there was a situation like this last year. It was Houston against Indianapolis, and Deshaun Watson tore his ACL on Thursday in practice, I believe. That number was 14 in the Super Contest. And then after Deshaun Watson got hurt, it readjusted down to, I think, 4, I believe it was. So there was 10 points of line value in that game. And that's the challenging thing is, you know, you talk about 3,123 people in this thing. There were 19 people that didn't submit any picks last week in the traditional Super Contest. But making up ground is really, really hard to do. And these injury situations are almost dictated by what time of the year it is. At this point in time in week two, you just want to accumulate winners. You don't care if you're on the same side as the consensus. You just want to accumulate winners, not bury yourself. If this was week 14 or week 15, you'd have a lot of people positioning themselves to fade the Packers, maybe take the Vikings, or just stay off of that game, hoping to grab one on the consensus. In week two, it's a different set of considerations because you just want that win no matter where it comes from.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the time. I mean, you can get by, and I've, you know, had a chance to talk with a few people that have won this super contest over the years, whether individuals or team entries, and the thing is, you can get by with, like, a 2 and 3 week. You can get by with one bad week and still win the thing. But it's just when you get two bad weeks, I mean, you don't want to be starting 1 and 4 and 2 and 3 in back-to-back weeks. So they're going to try to take the safest picks possible, I think, to try to just stay in it and see if, you know, hey, if we can accumulate 3 and 2 weeks and, you know, just kind of hang in there. I mean, you want the 5-0s and the 4-1s, but, you know, if we can just kind of hang in there and not, you know, lose it. It's almost like when we talk golf betting, Adam, where it's like when you get to a major championship, you can't win it in the first day of the U.S. Open on Thursday, but you can darn sure lose it if you shoot something like 7 or 8 over, and then you're out of the tournament. So that's kind of a similar thing here, I think, in this contest.
And of course, too, you know, at the same time, trying to accumulate winners, you know, if you did start 1-4 or 0-5 last week, or even 2-2-1 like I did with my 5 super contest plays, I would be inclined to look at the Packers because I need that win. You know, if you get off to that slow start, you need that game. If you're 4-1 or 5-0, maybe you want that game to keep pace, but also maybe you have some other games that you like a little bit more. You'll hope that the Vikings find a way to win this game by more than 7. You know, last week, I feel like I took a couple of dice rolls with Dallas and Arizona. Those wound up being the two losers that I had on the card. Wish I would have gone a little bit safer with the plays that I made. So, you know, the hardest thing, there's so many elements to this. You know, it's 5 NFL games against the spread every week. It seems really easy. But the margin for error, there isn't any. You have to pick 5 games no matter what. Even if you don't like 5, you have to pick 5. And then there's also the game theory element of, as we get deeper into this thing, trying to fade the consensus, trying to find games that maybe people aren't going to take, maybe trying to, you know, be with the consensus if you're in a good position to cash. It's hard, man. And the second guessing, the mental side of this contest is easily harder than the handicapping to me.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the numbers are what they are. And, I mean, you kind of saw last week in week one where it was very rare that the standard super contest and then the gold have the same top consensus selection. That's very rare. And you saw it last week with Cincinnati. And that made me want to bet the Colts, and I did, and ended up losing. Actually, ended up splitting because I had first half as well. But, I mean, where it got to the point where the Colts were actually closed the dog at +1, and, I mean, so you look at the different consensuses, and usually you're going to see some difference between the gold and the standard super contest. I mean, but, you know, if they do the top 5, you may have one of the same, but more often than not, you're going to be different. And I mean, you know, like you were saying earlier, when you get into week 14 and week 15, you're almost playing a little bit more defensive than if you're playing aggressive early on.
Now, we'll be talking about my super contest thoughts here for this week. I think I've got probably 2 or 3 picks that I do like. Have to obviously come up with 5 of them. And again, we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, so I still have plenty of time with my contest card. I'll do the best I can to give you my thoughts here with this super contest selection segment. Again, I generally won't go against picks unless there's a big injury situation or something like that. But, Wes, for those that aren't in the super contest, I know you are. You're part of that group entry. But you just mentioned that, you know, when you saw the Bengals come out as the top consensus pick in both the traditional and the gold, kind of pushed you a little bit towards Indianapolis. So maybe for those that aren't in the super contest, still have an interest in it, are still following it, you know, are there some things that you can take from the super contest and then apply to your personal handicapping every weekend?
Yeah, I think you just want to look at and just looking at what they put certain things in the numbers out there. One example that I saw, they put the Eagles out at -3.5 over Tampa Bay. And if you look at the market right now, the consensus is 3, but with heavier juice, maybe it's a -$1.15 or $1.20. So, I mean, not all of them are the same. I mean, some people on game day on Sunday, let's assume the line stays the same, you're going to have to pay probably $1.30 to lay Philadelphia at -3. And I think that they put that out at 3.5. They actually have it on the board right now at -3.5, even money. So I think when you see that, they probably knew when they were setting these super contest lines that if you give Philadelphia at a flat 3 when you have bigger vig in the market, that that was going to be a very popular pick. And so putting it out, obviously, at 3.5 makes it a little bit more challenging because you have two teams that both won, one as a big dog and one as a favorite that everybody hated because you saw the money go to Atlanta. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, well, a lot of us went against Philadelphia last week and they burned us. So they're resistant to go against them again. But I think them putting out this 3.5 instead of a flat 3, you know, it is very interesting, and it makes the handicap a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and there are a couple other games that are like that on the card this week. The Jets are -2.5 in the Super Contest against the Dolphins. The number is 3 with extra juice, mostly market-wide. The other game is the Bears and Seahawks on Monday night, where the Bears are 3.5 in the Super Contest, 3 with extra juice, or there are some 3.5s out there in the market as well. And of course, last night on Wednesday, when they actually released the Super Contest numbers, I don't know if anybody was 3.5 at that time. Everyone was pretty much 3 with the extra juice. So again, a lot of considerations here. And of course, that half point is a big deal. You know, I was talking with some people today. I did like the Dolphins. I did like the Eagles, but I'm on the wrong side, a half point each way in both of those games. So that factors into my handicap. You know, can I take the Dolphins at 2.5? You know, it would have been nice to have that 3 for half a point, but you know, again, it's just another one of the many considerations for betting the NFL card here throughout the week. So there is one game that you and I are definitely in agreement on. I know this is the play that you submitted for your group entry, and we'll go by rotation number here in the Super Contest. That is number 4, the Indianapolis Colts. They're +6 on the road against the Washington Redskins. Redskins played very well last week, beating Arizona. The Colts played better than the final score would indicate against the Bengals, but this is a number that has kind of run away a little bit throughout the week. You're on the Indianapolis side. I would consider it a lean for me.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, that you want to look at, what I look at this is what the Westgate, for those that don't know, do put out look-ahead lines 10 days in advance before the game's played. So usually it's on Wednesday. So they had these week 2 lines out last week. And obviously lines are going to change as you get results in on Sunday and Monday, and you also get injuries and what have you and different things. Look-ahead line on this game was -3. So if you're going at default home field advantage at FedEx Field for the Redskins, then they're a pick'em on a neutral site. Well, now you're getting 6. I don't think that this is going to get up to 7 because I think you will see that get hammered on the other side from value players and guys buying back that will absolutely take the Colts +7. And I think what you saw last week is that the Colts, you know, really struggled, and they're down on talent on defense. They're going to have to be a team that forces turnovers because they're kind of going back a little bit to that Tampa 2 that they played, obviously, with their great run under Dungy and Peyton Manning and in that era. But they have some good young athletes, but they're going to make some mistakes. So that's what you saw. You're going to have to see the Colts offense score some points, and I think that they will. I actually thought Andrew Luck played pretty well last week. All things considered, he took a couple shots. Everybody was concerned and gassed in horror, but he got right back up. I think, assuming that they get Anthony Costanzo back this week, their left tackle, I think that's a really big thing. I mean, you know, yeah, he's not a Pro Bowler. He's an above-average left tackle. But, you know, that's really important for them to get him back. And, you know, it looks like he was 50-50. He didn't practice today as we tape this. But all considerations were it's likely that he's going to go. and likely that they get Marlon Mack back in the backfield. Of course, Robert Turbin suspended, I believe, until week four with the positive test. But, I mean, you got a team that won on the road last week in the Redskins, and now they're coming home, and then you got a team that lost at home with the Colts. So you're going to get a line change. But, I mean, with the look-ahead line at 3 and now at the line being 6 pretty much across the board, there's a few 5.5s out there. I think there's a little bit of value on the Colts here.
I think there is, too. I mean, I think part of this early week line move was a little bit of a reaction to Washington playing so well at Arizona, to Indianapolis losing that game by double digits. And realistically speaking, I mean, they're in the red zone. They very easily could have, you know, won that game. And then this would be a much different looking line than it is. I also think part of this line move here, and you know this as well as I do, Wes, the Colts have no running game. And early in the week, it looked like there was a chance that Hurricane Florence would kind of keep angling up that way towards Maryland, maybe bringing some wind and some rain into the equation. Well, now the storm track has changed. It's going to kind of buttonhook over South Carolina a little bit, at least based on everything that I've seen here lately with the projections. So I think part of that was a fade of what Indianapolis has to do offensively if they got some bad weather conditions. But the weather conditions look like they're going to be a little bit better here. My chief concern in this game, aside from the Costanzo injury, is how Andrew Luck looks coming off of throwing the ball 53 times last week. That's my worry. A guy who didn't play in basically 2 years throwing the ball 53 times. The fatigue factor for him is my concern. But again, I think there's probably too much line value on this one ultimately for me to pass on it. And I do also think that with our joint entry here, our bangthebook.com entry for the gold, this one will be one of the 5 picks we like the most. So I think it's going to wind up on all 3 of our cards across the board.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, you know, the thing that is reassuring, I mean, you don't want Andrew Luck to throw that much, but I mean, if you look at the game last week, it was a pretty even game. I mean, obviously the final score was deceptive with that fumble where Jack Doyle was just short of the first down, lost the ball, and obviously the Bengals run it back. So it ended up being double digit, but it really wasn't a double digit game. It was a deceptive final. And I mean, I think that there's good value here. And I mean, I'm not sure if people should be ready to buy into the Redskins just yet. I think Alex Smith is going to fit in nicely there and is going to be okay. But, you know, you got to sometimes, you know, find those underdogs maybe that aren't going to be totally trendy. And I don't think this one will be.
All right, we'll slide down the card a little bit here. Obviously, the Falcons with big injury problems, they're -6 against Carolina. That's going to be a tough game for a lot of people to play, I think. We already talked about the Packers, who are +7 against the Vikings. If Aaron Rodgers goes, that's a consensus pick. Probably your number one consensus pick, I would think, just exclusively from a line value standpoint. Chargers are a 7-point favorite on the road at Buffalo. That'll be a popular selection as well. That could be a little bit of a sharp versus public split in that game here in the Super Contest. But the next play that I like here, number 11, the Houston Texans. They're a pick'em against the Tennessee Titans. I'll give you a stat in my next breakdown that will go against Houston. But with Taylor Lewan out for Tennessee, he's in concussion protocol. With Marcus Mariota dealing with the hand injury, I think there are a lot of problems for Tennessee in this spot. Yes, Houston's back-to-back road games. Yes, their wide receivers have been banged up a little bit here, but I saw nothing redeeming from the Titans last week. I saw nothing really redeeming from the Titans in the preseason where Marcus Mariota had problems picking up that Matt LaFleur offense. Texans, they lost to New England. They gave it their all in that game. That's a game that they always want to win for Bill O'Brien. But also, I think at their core, they figured, hey, we're probably not going to win this game. Let's just go ahead and get to 1-1 this week. I do like Houston as a pick'em here in Nashville.
Yeah, I would too. I think, and I'm really actually down a little bit on both of these teams this year, because I mean I still think Houston, their defense, they still have talent there, but it's also the talent that's older now, and that's why I actually thought that this division was going to be a lot more competitive instead of a Jacksonville runaway. Because I'm curious long term on the Jaguars to see how they're going to be used to being now the hunted instead of the hunter. Now that's going to be something we'll watch later in the season. But yeah, I think Houston at Pick'em is pretty good value here. I mean, I'm not sure. You know, Tennessee, I thought, actually kind of made a mistake. I mean, not that Mike Mularkey was a great coach, but, I mean, this is a team that won a road playoff game last year and yet got rid of their coach. And, you know, and I think there's some question, and there's some getting used to new coaches a little bit. Now, some teams buy in right away and some teams don't buy in right away, and we obviously saw that with the Lions on Monday night. That I don't think they've completely bought into this Matt Patricia program where they look so undisciplined on both sides of the ball. But I'm with you. I don't think we're using Houston, but I think that that's the right angle here.
All right, we'll go to my next play here on the card. Number 13, the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is my favorite play of the week. They're a 4-point favorite against the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe call it Joe Public. Maybe call it Square if you want to. But I think Pittsburgh is very clearly the side here in this game. That stat that does go against Houston, though, I can bring it up here. Since 2015, and we've talked about this twice now on Bang the Book Radio this week, teams that start with a road back-to-back are 0-12 against the spread in week two. That applies to the Kansas City Chiefs here this week, who were in Denver last week, or who were in Los Angeles last week, excuse me, knocked off the Chargers in a game where they gave up a ton of yardage. But for Pittsburgh last week, you know, the weather conditions were absolutely atrocious in Cleveland. Big Ben did miss Le'Veon Bell in the passing game. Uncharacteristically had all the turnovers. Steelers -5 in turnover margin there. But this is still a Pittsburgh offense, despite being -5 in turnover margin and turning the ball over 6 times, that had 418 yards in regulation in that game, in the slop, in the rain, in the wind. It was a horrible day. They moved the ball on Cleveland, despite that Cleveland pass rush with Garrett and Ogba and the other guys they were rotating in. Kansas City's defense is very, very slow, not much of a pass rush. I don't think they get to Big Ben at all whatsoever in this game. This is a get-right spot for the Steelers here, who, you know, a lot of people will look at them and say, well, they played so bad, they tied the Browns, that's embarrassing. When you turn the ball over 6 times and don't lose, that's a pretty positive thing for you. I love Pittsburgh this week. I may get burned on this one. Maybe Pat Mahomes shows me up. I love the Steelers this week, though.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see a lot of, and I don't have the exact number, but you'll see a lot of people that really look at trends that I think are going to like Kansas City this week, because Andy Reid historically is a pretty good coach as an underdog and has a pretty good mark. But, I mean, you have a team that won a division road game to start. Now they have to go back on the road, you know, like that trend you were talking about, to the opposite side of the country from where they were. People, I think, maybe are a little bit down on Pittsburgh, being that they tied the Cleveland Browns, who didn't win a game last year. So I think people, it's one of those things, and it's kind of a play that I like. I mean, it's. You know, this is a case of maybe liking the team maybe more than the number here. And oftentimes, you know, you like the number more than the team. But, you know, Pittsburgh is going to be really a contrarian type of favorite. And contrarian favorites are like my favorites, so to speak, to bet. Because you like the favorites that nobody likes. And, you know, you're seeing that Kansas City, I think, is getting, at least right now, the bulk of the money, and it's kind of in that dead number phase. So I think this line probably, and I think probably closer to game time, you'll see more two-way action. I think you'll see Steeler money as you approach the game over the weekend, but I think that'll be a balanced game. And I think this was almost a game, too, where the bookmakers maybe weren't necessarily, they didn't have a lean on the side either way and weren't sure to do with it. So it was like, okay, let's put it in the middle. You know, if we make it too low, if we make it 3 or something, then people are going to take Pittsburgh. If we make it 7, then you're going to be all over Kansas City. So it was kind of like, let's just split the baby here and put it in the middle and let's see what, and you set the market for it.
That's a good point, and I like talking about things like that. We talk about looking for context clues in the betting market. I think that is one of them where, you know, they kind of wanted the market to mold and set this number And we'll see what this number winds up looking like at kickoff. But, you know, I think for me, Pittsburgh is my favorite play here this week. And I think that they should take care of business here against Kansas City. Now, we'll move down one spot on the board here. And so far, I've talked about Colts, Texans, and Steelers probably are the three picks that I do like here this week. Then I'll have to come up with a couple more games to add to the card. There are probably three or four leans I do have of varying levels of confidence. One of them being the Miami Dolphins here. They're plus 2.5. They're number 16 in the Super Contest. They take on the New York Jets. And the primary driving force for me behind this play, Wes, and I wish it was three. I'm kind of disappointed to see the 2.5 like we talked about earlier in the segment. The primary driving force for me is Sam Darnold looked really good on Monday Night Football with all offseason to prepare for the Lions. Now he has less than a week to prepare for the Miami Dolphins defense. That's a big learning curve for a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. And I think not only that context, but also the fact that Miami was in that, of course, delayed weather game with multiple weather delays. You know, I think people are maybe – that's maybe put some number in the line here in the Jets' favor in the fact that – Miami played that long game. How are they going to come off of that game the following week? But the look-ahead line, when they put this out before Monday night, I believe they had Dolphins minus 1.5 is what I saw. And now you're getting the Jets, I mean, close to 3 here. So I think you're on the right track with Miami here. And I think also it's actually easier for a young rookie quarterback like Darnold to open up on the road, you know, and we saw his inauspicious start with the pick six on the first play, and then he was kind of able to settle in. I actually think, you know, it's kind of contrary to popular belief, it was probably easier for him to get that start on the road than it will be to start at home, because now you're off a win, the fans have high expectations, and they're excited by what they saw on Monday night. So now there's the added pressure, I think, of starting at home. And I think the pressure is going to be a lot bigger on Darnold to make his first start at home against a divisional opponent. So I think you're on the right track there with Miami.
And again, obviously, like you said, you know, Miami with that unique game last week. But, you know, I think it's also one of those things, too, where maybe you're a little bit concerned about Miami because they couldn't get into the flow of the game. But Adam Gase has kind of put his stamp on this team. You know, they've gotten rid of some of the guys they thought were kind of troublemakers a little bit. And when you have a game like that, where you can persevere through the lightning delays, about, what, 4 combined hours of those, I think that does build a little bit of camaraderie. And, you know, when we talk about the NFL, the numbers are always tight. So you're always looking for different kind of edges, whether they're tangible or intangible. I think the Dolphins maybe, you know, tightened up a little bit as a unit there, prevailing in that game. It was a weird fourth quarter with 34 points. But, you know, now as they go on the road, maybe a little more confidence, a little bit more continuity, a little bit more belief. I think all of those things kind of helped them a little bit. And it's not the, you know, overconfidence maybe that some of the Jets may be experiencing some. So we'll see how this one plays out. We'll see if this one does end up making my card. I also think the Dolphins probably won't be a very popular pick this week. I think the Jets at 2.5 could entice some people to take that number, because you're down below the 3. So maybe that's a game where I could pick up a little bit of ground on the consensus as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you took the words right out of my mouth in terms of there's something to be said for a team that maybe goes through some adversity. And those were obviously adverse circumstances with the weather delays. And there's something to be said for that where it's like, whatever you go through the following week, well, this is going to be a light bid. I mean, look at the stuff we dealt with last week. You know, so, you know, we're prepared for this. Like this is nothing. So I think there's definitely something to be said for that. And, you know, as we talk about this, I may be talking myself more into putting Miami, you know, in my pocket, at least for Sunday's card.
Now, one game I was interested in, and it's still of interest to me, but the 3.5 may be what keeps me off of this game. That's Philadelphia on the road against Tampa Bay. I think the Eagles are in a bounce-back spot. They've got extra prep time and extra rest for this game after playing the Thursday nighter. Tampa Bay is not as good as they played last week, at least not offensively. You know, we saw what the defense did, and that wasn't a very good showing. The 3.5 concerns me, but as opposed to the other play I'm looking at, which is the New Orleans Saints, who are an 8.5-point favorite, you know, when you talk about the NFL, you talk about the value in a number, things of that sort, probably rather be laying the 3.5 than the 8.5. That being said, I do really like the Saints this week. So those are the two games I'm picking between for what probably winds up as the fifth play on my card.
Yeah, and I think and we were talking about that before we came on air, with the Philadelphia, I mean, they put that out at 3.5. I mean, now the consensus was Philadelphia, and I believe it still is in the market, is about maybe -3, -115, or -3, -$1.20. You know, if you're wanting to lay the 3, I think, on game day, Sunday morning, I'm guessing it's probably going to be 125 or -130. But they put this out there in the Super Contest. I think it's -3.5 because they knew that Philadelphia had to put kind of a little bit of a wrinkle or a challenge into it. They knew that Philadelphia was probably going to be a popular pick, maybe not as popular as getting Green Bay at 7 at home with the possibility of Aaron Rodgers playing, or maybe not as popular as the Patriots laying about as low number as they can as a favorite. I mean, you're going to see that be pretty popular with, you know, laying 1 point, even though it's on the road against a good team and one of the better defenses in the league. So they know what picks when they set these lines are probably going to be popular. And they knew Philadelphia -3 was going to be popular. And I also think you take into consideration that the betting market went against Philadelphia. And they, you know, became a dog in some places or a pick'em or maybe even a kind of a contrarian favorite at -1, and then they got burned. And most bettors, you know, whatever category you want to put each individual bettor in, when they get burned on a team the previous week going against a team, they're very hesitant to go against that team the next week. So I think putting that 3.5 maybe entices some people to say, hey, let's go against them. And then you also had an underdog that was the underdog on the board last week, double digits on the road, and won outright, and actually won a lot more convincingly, I think, than the final score. So, you know, you're trying to say, okay, is Philadelphia still the same team they were last year? Or is Tampa Bay really that improved, or was it kind of a one-hit wonder? So this is a challenging game, I think, for the contest. In terms of your second game, I believe you were doing the Saints. You know, I hate laying those kind of big favorites in the NFL, but I think that might be a decent spot for it in the fact that you had a team that had high expectations that laid a huge egg. And then obviously that there was buzz on Cleveland. Cleveland took money all last week as a home dog. I mean, it got bet down to 3.5. And you knew that Pittsburgh was kind of a public side, people laying a cheap road favorite, but yet the line really didn't go up that much. So there was obviously some money on the Browns last week and people that kind of are buying into them as an improved team, but yet you're not seeing it this week in New Orleans. So of those two, I like New Orleans better than maybe taking Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, where there's a little bit more uncertainty and plus with that number being at 3.5. But, you know, usually week two spots, and we were talking about this before, kind of jump out at you with the overreaction off week one. But this is actually a relatively tough week two card, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's a little bit tricky. I mean, you know, like you said, I think the Saints laying the lumber there is something that I do like. And again, you know, I've got plenty of time to figure this one out here. We're recording on Thursday afternoon. Got to have my picks in before 10 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday. So I got plenty of time to look at them. You know, I was a little bit intrigued by Jacksonville early on. But, you know, I mean, look, you know, this is not the time of year, I think, where you want to go taking a risky play like that. You know, maybe the Patriots are a consensus pick as a 1-point favorite. A lot of people playing up that Jaguars revenge angle from the AFC Championship game. I get it. Also, there aren't a lot of people that want to go against 12 early on in the season. So, you know, for Jacksonville, it's a tough play to make, just getting +1. You know, you have some other tough plays that are out there. You know, we were talking about this before we came on the air here. The Bills at 7 is an overreaction. It's a big number. But who the hell wants to take the Buffalo Bills this week? You know, the Raiders plus 6, overreaction, inflated number. But who wants to take the Raiders plus 6? So I think it's one of those things where, you know, we're going to have some teams that people just don't want to bet. They're just going to be very toxic this week. And so I think that, you know, if you can take those teams from a personal betting standpoint, it's not a bad idea to take a shot. From a contest standpoint, it's a much higher degree of risk, especially in something like the Super Contest with so many entries.
Yeah, that San Diego-Buffalo game, I think from a contest standpoint, for sure, is kind of a stay away because, I mean, nobody wants Buffalo. And I mean, with so many things that are week one overreactions, it's not an overreaction to say the Buffalo Bills are not going to be very good this year. I mean, I don't think and I think we kind of maybe knew that going in. Now, I don't think we expected to get beat by well over 40, you know, I mean, in the fact that I didn't feel safe enough to lay that number with the Ravens and actually teased it down to 1.5, you know, which was a pretty easy teaser leg. But, you know, you got Buffalo with a rookie quarterback making his first start, but he can't be any worse than what Nathan Peterman was last week. And you also got a tough spot for San Diego. I mean, this isn't just saying, hey, let's be the bully and pick on a bad team here. This is a tough spot for San Diego. You lose a home game, a divisional home game, in week one, and then now have to have about the farthest flight you can get in the league across the country from the southernmost part of California into upstate New York. And an early kick, it's a tough thing, and we've seen this with the Chargers in the past, where they start out bad, and then they have to make a run either in the middle or later of the season to kind of play catch-up and then maybe fall a game short of the playoffs or the division or what have you. So we've seen this with the Chargers before. So, you know, obviously people don't want Buffalo, but I think it's a big leap of faith to lay a touchdown on the road with San Diego. And the fact that I've seen it now at 7, you're not seeing a lot of books maybe out there that have engaged yet in the teaser protection, because you know San Diego is going to be in all the teasers come Sunday. To tease that down to -1, or if you even play a 6.5 or 7-point teaser, tease it down to a half or tease it down to a pick'em. So it's still a leap of faith to play San Diego. So that is a game I'd stay away from. The Oakland-Denver game, I may have Oakland in my pocket at +6, or if the number goes up bigger, because I'm not that high on Denver. And obviously what we saw from the Raiders, they have a lot of things to work on to improve that club. And, you know, we don't know how trading your best player in your franchise is sitting with the locker room. I mean, they obviously came out pretty focused and played a pretty solid first half, and then they just kind of died in the second half. But, you know, it's a little bit of a risk. I definitely wouldn't lay the points with Denver in the Super Contest. So for me, it would kind of be Oakland or nothing in that game.
Well, good to get Wes Reynolds back on the program here. You can follow Wes on Twitter at Wes Reynolds and the number one. Like I said, we're going to try to get him back on Wednesdays here. But, you know, we may also just do our Super Contest segment with him too, because Wes, I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for coming back on the program, man. And we'll talk to you in some capacity next week.
Yeah, Adam, great to be back with you, and good luck everyone this weekend.
Good insights there on week two of the Westgate Super Contest from Wes Reynolds. Again, it's at Wes Reynolds and the number one on Twitter. So once again here, just to recap, the games that I'm looking at probably taking here for sure would be 4 Colts at +6, 11 Texans at pick'em, 13 Steelers -4. The Dolphins are number 16 in the Super Contest rotation order. They're +2.5. And then probably pick between the Eagles and the Saints. Saints are 19. They're an 8.5-point favorite. Eagles are 17. They're a 3.5-point favorite. We got one more segment here for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is with Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the odds report. Again, recording this here on Thursday afternoon. So some of the lines on some of these games may have changed around by the time you hear this on Friday morning. But this is a recap of sharp action they've gotten so far here at DSI Sportsbook for both the college football and the NFL betting markets. So here is this week's version of the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent, the head risk manager at DSI Sportsbook, for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent's going to tell us where the sharp money is in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Not too bad. I mean, just looking at it, looking ahead at this college football schedule, it's kind of a, you know, like last week there was no real like wow me kind of games. And looking at this week's card, it's pretty much the same. I mean, like LSU and Auburn, I guess, you know, looks pretty good. USC, Texas, maybe Ohio State, TCU kind of, but there's no, I don't know. I'm still missing the wow factor with the college football.
Yeah, I think the biggest game on the card, I mean, TCU and Ohio State could be a big game, but the Buckeyes, of course, now favored by 12.5. That Boise State-Oklahoma State game at 3:30 is a real good one. I'll be curious to see what kind of action you get on that one. That one's not listed on our card here today, but I imagine you'll get quite a bit of interest in that game as we get closer to kickoff. So, Brent, let's go ahead and dive right into these games. I know you're helping me out a little bit, joining me a little bit earlier so we can get this recording taken care of. I want to make sure that we get through these games in a timely fashion for you here. Beginning with game 117-118, Hawaii takes on Army. Obviously for Hawaii, enormous travel, about a 13-hour trip up to West Point. You've got a six-hour time difference for them, a noon Eastern time kickoff, and yet somebody out there in the market's finding some value here on the Rainbow Warriors.
The undefeated Rainbow Warriors, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, I don't know, like last week we had money on, was it Liberty? That Liberty line at Army went from 10 down to 7.5, and it kind of, it stayed right around there. Now Army got the job done. I think they were up, I don't think Liberty even scored until the second half. So that was one that we talked about, sharp play on Liberty last week. Now, I don't know if this is a consistent thing in terms of sharps playing against Army or what have you, but they are on Hawaii this week plus the 7. Now, again, we're sitting at 6.5 right now, or 6, so it hasn't dropped, you know, immensely, but we are ourselves, we are at 6 right now. This is one of those kind of good spots for me as well, in that I could probably be comfortable sitting back at 6.5 and get two-way action there. We always kind of look for spots where you have a sharp and public split, and we do have sharp money on Hawaii this week plus the 7, as I touched on. My wager count though actually favors Army, so I'm getting more bets on Army, but I got the sharp money on Hawaii. My money actually is about 2-1 favoring Hawaii. Now oftentimes we will get, you'll hear, you know, this will repeat itself throughout the season, where we have more bets in this case on Army and more money on Hawaii, and that's just the nature of your business. Most of your what we'll call public customers who are betting for more for fun will make those smaller bets, whereas your sharp guys are betting your max limits, and that's the case here.
And this is so fascinating, because a lot of sharp people that do the power ratings or have, you know, analytics databases or whatever else, they've had to rapidly adjust Hawaii up, because Hawaii looks so much better than anybody thought coming into the season. And then here we get this number where they're really playing, to me, this is their first true road game. I know in week 0 they played at Colorado State, but they had plenty of time to get there. They were able to get accustomed to everything. Here, you know, it's your regular traditional college football turnaround with a very, very long travel and a very tough spot really across the board for Hawaii here. So this is one of those noon kickoffs that, as a general rule with two teams like this, would probably be kind of a throwaway game. But I bet there's pretty decent action on this thing by the time the dust settles at kickoff.
Yeah, I think there's, and again, too, you kind of touch on the, you know, the board's not the greatest board. I mean, you get games out there with some really high point spreads. So this could be one of those games where we do get decent, you know, decent action both ways. Like I said, we're in a good spot now in that I have more bets on Army and more money on Hawaii. So I think I could probably sit there, you know, at 6.5 and still get more Hawaii money, or sorry, more Army money, and good as, you know, be in a good spot where I've had customers laying the 6.5 with Army and the sharp guys taking the plus 7. So we'll see how this one plays out in terms of the line movement. But I see some books out there right now still at 6, others at 6.5.
All right, we'll go down one spot here on the board, and these are sorted by rotation number this week. So again, for our listeners that are out there, sort your odd screen by rotation number. That's the way that we're going through these games. Game 119-120, Kent State and Penn State. Early kickoff in Happy Valley here. The Nittany Lions laying a big number.
Yeah, they're laying a massive number here. We're sitting at 34.5. I know there are some minus 34s and even 35 out there with Penn State at home to Kent State. Where I have sharp money here, though, Adam, was on the total. This initially took a little, you know, a slight drop down from the opening number of 62. It kind of bounced around 62 and 61.5. Sharp money then came in on the over 61.5, and we're up to 64.5 right now. quite a few totals this week, and unfortunately I got quite a few, you know, totals where I've got money on the over from sharp money, sharp guys. Now, the reason, like, we never really like a whole lot of sharp money on the overs because, generally speaking, the public is going to bet the over as well. So a case like this illustrates that with my wager count, almost 3-1 favoring the over, and that's why, I mean, you take an initial move from, like, 61.5, you can easily jump to 62.5, and the public will drive that up to where we are now at 64.5.
So let me ask you about this, Brent, because this is always interesting to me. You've got this huge spread here. You've got this game, as you mentioned, 34, 35 in that type of range, 34.5, pretty much the consensus number out there. So you kind of expect, a lot of people look at blowouts and expect the fourth quarter to be, you know, running clock, basically the team that's the better team, the team that's the big favorite, running the football, eating up the play clock, all that type of thing. But in this game, you've got a Kent State team playing at a much higher tempo. So I think there's kind of a balancing act to be had there where you want to make sure this total is high enough with Kent State's tempo and also the defense that's not very good. But at the same time, expecting this game to be lopsided, expecting, you know, a moving clock in the fourth quarter for the most part, then you want to keep the number a little bit lower. So it's kind of a balancing act.
Yeah, no, it's tough with these high point spreads because, like, you know, as you touched on, you generally get the feeling that, you know, later in the game you're going to be running the clock out sometimes. But as you see, I mean, week in, week out, you'll see this where teams are just that much better than the other team. And even when they're just, you know, a ground team trying to run the ball, you know, the kids who come in, you know, relieving the starters, you know, they want to make an impression too. So they're trying to run, they're trying to score, they're trying to do everything. And when there's a discrepancy like that, you see it all the time. You know, college basketball is the exact same thing. You'll see, you know, late in second halves of games where both teams are, you know, putting their benches out there. Well, you know, the good team is still that much better than the bad team, and they end up rolling up when you figure things would even out near the end.
All right, let's slide down on the board a little bit more here. Game 125-126, only moving one spot. Old Dominion and Charlotte got moved to Thursday. That was game 123-124. So go to game 125-126 here. Florida State taking on Syracuse up at the Carrier Dome. Florida State, a little bit of a growing favorite here throughout the week, but it's the total that's gotten some sharp involvement.
Yeah, Florida State, as you mentioned, they've gone from, I mean, the open was around 1.5 and 2, which is not, you know, not a real key number. It's gone through 2.5. I think maybe there's a couple of 2.5s out there. I'm sitting at 3 right now, just on the side. I've got, you know, decent two-way action on this one. The 2.5 and 3 seems to be working for this. So based on what I've seen so far, I would see this number kind of stabilize on the side, 3, maybe 3 dog 15 there. But, you know, unfortunately, again, talking about totals and over money, I've got over money from sharp bettors here. Now, again, this one's, you know, it's one of those games where the totals really move quite a bit. Now, I got bet over 62 initially. That's where my first sharp money came in. Now, we're up to 68 right now. So, it's, I mean, that's like a full touchdown move that we're off based on the current market situation. My wager count in terms of the public betting as well, almost 3-1 favoring the over. So, that's a whole lot of money both ways. You know, you kind of sit there and wait. Now, we're doing this show on Thursday. We're talking about Saturday games. So you kind of hope maybe the sharps are kind of lurking for a number. Maybe 68.5 is where they'll come in. Or even at 68, they're just kind of seeing if it goes a little higher before we get any buyback the other way. But I think, you know, this sometimes, you know, you just look at a number and you put it up there. You think you got it right and it just turns out to be, you know, the wrong number altogether. Now, I know Syracuse has put up some decent points in their first couple of games, but they haven't really played anyone yet. So, you know, they did beat, I think, Western Michigan. They put up like 55, and then Wagner last week. So it's a bit of a feeling out in terms of seeing, you know, how they're going to do against a better team. Maybe they're not going to roll up all those points. So, you know, we'll see how this total plays out in terms of coming back down, if it does at all. You know, just kind of something to look out for. If it does, you know, it seems to have topped out, I think, at the 68. So I'd be looking for this number to come back down. And if it did, you would know it was sharp money based on the fact the public has hammered the over after their sharps got on it early.
Real quick, one question about this game here. You said up from 62 to about 68. Now, I think a couple of places even have 68.5 already. That initial hit that you took, what did you adjust that total to? From 62 to 64, 64.5, something like that?
We went to 63.5 right off that, yeah. So we went, you know, 1.5 off that because of sharp money. And again, you know, when a sharp bets you early on an over, you kind of you know, you kind of have a tendency to make a bigger move, a point and a half instead of just a point on a total like this. Whereas if the sharp guy perhaps went under, you might be more hesitant to move based on your wager count and stuff like that. You definitely move maybe a half point, maybe 1 point based on what the market is. But again, you kind of get the general consensus, and you know, the theme that we've talked about years over years on this show now is that the public is generally going to bet you over. So, you know, we definitely do welcome sharp monies on the under much more than the overs.
All right, let's go to game 137, 138 here. Vanderbilt takes on Notre Dame. Notre Dame getting back to facing a Power 5 team after playing Ball State last week. This is one of the games, one of the two games here in college that we're going to talk about that has some sharp action on the side.
Yeah, this one's really interesting for me in that, you know, I'm just surprised the way the action has come. Like, Notre Dame is always a public side, and I do have sharp money on Notre Dame minus 13.5. Now, we're only at 14 right now, but I have seen even out on the market still there are some 13.5s out there. I've got the surprising thing for me here is that I've got, you know, a wager count almost 2-1 favoring Vanderbilt. Now, I mean, Notre Dame is just always a public team year after year, but they are one of those teams as well that the public likes to kind of, you know, play both ways. And sometimes they'll be on them, sometimes they'll be against them, kind of like you know, Dallas Cowboys, for example. Like, they're not one of those teams where people are always betting on them. Sometimes they'll get heavy action on Dallas games because public's going against them in certain spots. So it looks like the public has looked at Vanderbilt here. I think they're 2-0 as well. Notre Dame's 2-0. Again, you know, Vanderbilt hasn't really played one of the top teams yet, and Notre Dame had that big win opening week, and then Ball State, they just kind of squeaked by them last week. So interesting just for me in terms of the fact that I've got public money on Vanderbilt and sharp money on Notre Dame, and I almost never get to say that. My dollar volume is about 2-1 on Notre Dame. Again, sharp money being bigger bets, and I've got a wager count 2-1 the other way on Vanderbilt.
Are you thinking this is probably 14 at kickoff on Saturday at 2:30?
Yes.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah,
we'll
no
move on down
there,
here.
Eh?
no hesitation at all. I mean, it makes sense because, you know, you probably will still get that public investment on Notre Dame. It'll just be a little bit later in the process. Now, that being said, again, with the expectation of public money hitting Notre Dame, if this comes down to 13, 12 and a half, something like that, we know exactly what's going on there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one thing, you know, again, we do this show on Thursday. Not every sharp bets early in the week. Sometimes they wait till, you know, later on we're looking for a certain number. They might wait till game day when you get your wager limits doubled and stuff like that. And also don't forget that there are groups of sharps who go against each other. It happens, you know, happens almost every week. So, you know, people sometimes assume that if the sharps are on one side, well, that's, you know, all the sharps in the world are on the same side. No, there's, I would say about 6 or 8 that we really follow. In terms of sharp money that comes in, and those guys will go against each other now and then.
All right, let's go to game 163-164 here. Tulane and UAB. So we're moving quite a bit down the board, heading back to the group of five ranks. Once again here, it's the total drawing some interest.
Yeah, and once again, unfortunately, it's over money on the total as well. Sharp money came on this game over 52.5. And again, you're looking at a number now, 57 as well. So, I mean, these totals are really taking big moves when the sharp money comes in. Again, it's not like Tulane and UAB is one of those marquee matchups that the pub is going to be jumping all over. But still, I do have a wager count 2-1 favoring the over as well. So I've got, you know, the public and the sharp going the same way, sitting at 57 right now. I think there might be like a 56.5 out there still. So hopefully that indicates we've kind of hit our sweet spot in terms of getting some money back the other way. Again, the public's not going to be banging the heck out of this game going back under. So I would expect it to hang around where it is right now, 56.5, 57.
Yeah, and this is an interesting one because Tulane only threw the ball 241 times last year in their 12 games. They've already thrown it 53 times here through two games. So maybe Tulane throwing the football a little bit more out of that option this year. Maybe that's something that, you know, no offense to the odds makers because they've got a lot of things on their plate, but maybe that's something they didn't pick up on here so far that, you know, Tulane passing a little bit more because you traditionally don't think about totals going up when it comes to an option team.
Yeah, and the thing too, from our perspective, is we do perhaps have a built-in bit of a bias in that sharp money generally comes in. If you look at the scope of, you know, season over season, year after year, we generally do get more money on the under from sharps. So you kind of maybe want to, you know, have a built-in defense mechanism in terms of looking at a number. Maybe, you know, this game could be a case where you looked at it instead of opening maybe 52.5. You think maybe, you know, 55.5 might be the right number, but I'm thinking I might not get a whole lot of public money and I might get sharp money. So you open it lower and lo and behold, the sharps in public go the same way.
We'll move down the board to game 167-168 here. Colorado State taking on Florida. Florida about a 3-touchdown favorite almost in this game. Once again, it's the total, though, that's in play.
And once again, Adam, we have over money as well. I'm sitting up there now, not as dramatic move here. The sharp money came in on this one at over 55, and I'm sitting 58.5 right now. You talked about the big spread in terms of Florida over Colorado State and Colorado State as well. They've been in, you know, a few high-scoring games already, so, you know, it could be that we just missed the mark on this one. But again, they're stepping up in terms of competition as well, so we'll see what Florida can do. No surprise, I've got public money betting the over as well on this. Wager counts 2-1 on this total, so over 55 is where I took sharp money here. Again, you touched on the fact that Florida's, you know, a big favorite here from 19 up to 20.5 right now, so the total's gone up with them. 58.5 is where we are now.
And I think it's also important to point out here, you know, when you're trying to put these puzzle pieces together, both as an odds maker and as a bettor, and then certainly using the information that's at your disposal as a risk manager, when you've got a Florida team, it's a 20.5 point favorite, and a Florida team that, you know, traditionally over the last few years has been an under team because they've not had much of an offense, you can certainly see why a total would be put a little bit low, because you would expect the better team, you know, kind of dictates how this game goes. And we don't think of Florida as a high scoring team.
Yeah, no, you're right. You hit the nail on the head there in terms of, you figure the superior team, and especially in a point spread like this, you know, a far superior team kind of gets to dictate the pace of the game. And, you know, look at last week as well, what Florida did in terms of playing Kentucky. I think that was like a 27-16 final as well. So you kind of think, you know, maybe, you know, the kind of trend would be leaning towards the under on a game like this. And then, you know, you think you've got it right, and here they go over.
All right, let's go down to game 179-180 here. Another total, this one, Oregon State and Nevada. We've also seen a little bit of investment here on the underdog in this one. Probably some sharp action in the market somewhere. None as of yet at DSI for you to report, but the total does have some activity.
Yeah, and, you know, finally I can say we got some under money on one of these games this week. Under 71.5 is where the money came here in terms of sharp money. That's Oregon State, Nevada. We're sitting at 69 right now, and my count's almost dead even. I've got more money towards the under, and again, sharp money betting a higher dollar volume per play. So I've got more money on the under. My wager count's almost even on this one. Yeah, I mean, this spread, it is, you know, it's either, you know, 3-15 or 3.5 across the board coming down from an opening number of around 4.5 or 5. So, you know, not about a dramatic dip, but yeah, I mean, when it touches on the key number of 3, and again, you know, college football is not quite as key as it would be in the NFL, but still, getting down to 3 is, you know, it is noteworthy. Just because you mentioned the side, I will touch on the fact that I do have about 2.5 to 1s to be exact in terms of the actual wager count on this game. So I do have more bets favoring Oregon State here as well.
Yeah, and of course, you know, 3, not as key of a number with a total up in the high 60s, but again, you know, still a number where if you are out there betting, trying to get the best number that you possibly can, you certainly want to be on the right side of those key numbers as often as possible. One more college football game to touch on here. Game 191-192, Missouri and Purdue, a little SEC versus Big Ten challenge type of game here. Purdue down below the key number of a touchdown here, but it's the total that's gotten some involvement at DSI.
Yeah, Purdue, I mean, they really haven't looked very good so far this year, have they? Sitting at 0-2, losing to, was it the Northwestern and Eastern Michigan, I guess it was last week, if my memory serves correctly. So not a great start for them, but I do have over money here on this one. Over money came in at 58.5, and you seem like just a real big move here in terms of this one trending over and over all the way up to 65.5. Now, again, when you're getting, you know, like a full touchdown move on a total, that's really dramatic. Now, fortunately, I guess I've got my wager count almost dead even on this one, so I do have more money on the over because of the sharp money that came in. Perhaps, you know, people are just down on Purdue, thinking they maybe won't be able to score a whole lot of points. I mean, they only put up 19 last week against Eastern Michigan, so that could be kind of the factor why the count is pretty much dead even. But I do have over money from the sharps. 58.5 is where they came in, and like I said, it's pretty much painted across the board right now at 65.5.
All right, let's transition over to the NFL side of things here. A little bit chalky with sharp money this week on the odds report in the NFL, but we'll start with game 261-262 here, and I guess obviously I kind of spoiled it a little bit saying it's been a little bit chalky, but it is the favorite getting some attention here.
Yeah, again, this one kind of surprises me, not in that I got sharp money where it came, but just the fact that people are on Indianapolis in terms of my wager count. That's Washington at home to Indianapolis. We're sitting at 6 right now. Washington, a 6-point favorite, and I got sharp money on the Redskins minus 5. The thing that kind of surprised me, like I said, was the fact that I got more wagers on Indianapolis Colts, which I just kind of, I don't know, I kind of find surprising. I will admit that Luck looked pretty good last week. Now, he looked good in a losing effort, but, you know, the Redskins looked pretty good as well. So this is one of those ones, like, again, we always look for in terms of betting spots. When you're looking at a sharp versus public split, this is one of those cases where I've got a wager count almost 2-1 favoring the Colts, and I've got sharp money on Washington. So Washington minus 5 is where the sharp money came in, and we're at 6 right now, but I've got more bets on the Colts. So, you know, if it kind of goes the way it is right now in terms of having the higher wager count on the Colts, you figure by game time we'll have more money on the Colts and we'll be needing Washington, and that, of course, is a good spot for us.
We slide down one spot here to game 263-264, Carolina and Atlanta. And one of the things that we talk about a lot here on this show, and Brent will say this more times than we can count, he's going to say that, you know, sharp guys find value where they find value, and they're going to play it. And here in this Carolina-Atlanta game, it's not the side, it's not the total, it's the money line that they're interested in.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you kind of, I don't really, especially when we do shows like this, I mean, I don't pick and choose at all in terms of, you know, where the sharp money comes in. I mean, it came in where it came in, and that's what kind of what we do here in this show. And sharp money was on Atlanta at home. It came in at minus 195 on the money line. Again, the money line is just they're going to win outright. Now, again, you know, just like all the markets, whenever the sharp money comes in, it's generally going to move on you. And we've seen this money line go all the way up from minus 195 where they came in to, you can get, I'm looking at like 240 and 250 across the board now. So you've got Atlanta at home off that kind of a bit of a stinky game opening week against Philadelphia, and Carolina off the big win last week at home to Dallas. So this is, you know, it's not a really, really long season when you're talking about NFL football. So, you know, within their division, this is already a big game, I think.
Yeah, and this will be one of those. Atlanta will probably be a pretty popular teaser play this week as well. With their red zone troubles, with their defensive injuries, a lot of people are going to look to take them down to pick them. Put them in a two-team 6-point teaser. The Chargers will be a popular teaser team as well this week. But that is something you can do. You know, just go ahead and play the money line. Instead of the minus 110 two-team teaser, you're laying $1.95 here to take Atlanta in a pick 'em situation. So, again, you know, we're talking about percentage points. We're talking about break-even percentages. We're talking about sharp money finding value out there. And we don't talk too much about money lines here. But, Brent, obviously, you know, they just felt like this was a good price.
Yeah, and again, we're talking about, you know, they do, it's all math these days. And I know that kind of sounds boring for guys, but these analytics guys have really taken over the market. And, you know, your break-even point on a minus 195 money line is around 66%. And right now, you know, the line's up to 245, 250, and your break-even point there is 71%. So, you know, the guys will look at that and figure, like, what are the chances, the probabilities of this team winning the game? And they obviously found value in Atlanta, and that's reflected in the money line from when they bet it to where we are right now.
We'll go to game 271-272 here. This is a game that should have a very high dollar volume by the time it kicks off on Sunday. Kansas City and Pittsburgh, what's the story here?
Yeah, this is my highest volume game so far. And, you know, it's as close as you can get to two-way action on a game. I am in a decent spot as well in that I do have sharp money on Pittsburgh. And the line really hasn't crept up a whole lot. Now, I am using minus 5. We took sharp money on Pittsburgh minus 4.5. And I've got, you know, talk about the part public and sharp split earlier. And that's the same situation here in that I've got a lot more bets on Kansas City, which is, you know, a great spot for us in terms of having sharp money one way and public going the other way. Now, the wager count is about 2-1. My money's almost dead even because of the sharp money that came in on Pittsburgh. And I do kind of think that this is going to be, you know, one of those spots where it's gonna kind of level out. We're going to be sitting at 4.5. You're probably 5, maybe a little bit higher. Between 4.5, 5, and 5.5, there's really not key numbers, nothing really significant, but I think Kansas City is still one of those teams that people are going to like to bet on, and Pittsburgh obviously is one of those teams that they, you know, year over year they like to bet on. So we're going to have tremendous volume on this game for sure. We also have sharp money on the side, although the total of this game, that money came over 51.5. We see the total right now at 53.5, so it has moved up quite a bit. A 2-point move in NFL is rather substantial, and I think Kansas City is going to be one of those teams that people are going to be looking at going over throughout the season. We'll see how it plays out. But last week against the Chargers, you saw them put up a whole lot of points. And Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, Pittsburgh offense, they really did look pretty good last week, even though it was Cleveland they were playing. But, I mean, the wind and all those factors and weather factors involved, I think back home they're going to move the ball quite easily against Kansas City. And I think Kansas City, in terms of their offense, it's a little bit tricky with Mahomes and all the kind of assets and weapons they have out there. It's almost like a college-style offense that I think teams are going to take a while to get used to.
One thing I do want to ask you about regarding this game, because we talked about this one a little bit in our previous segment for the Super Contest with obviously myself and Wes Reynolds, and we talked about this game a little bit, and we talked about the number that was put out for the open. A lot of places opening 4 or 4.5, and it felt like one of those things where opening Pittsburgh 3 is too low, opening Kansas City 6 or 7 is too high. So basically it was kind of put a number out there and sort of let the market tell you what they think and then just adjust from there. Do you feel like that's accurate?
Yeah, I mean, remember, we always, you know, I talk about the function of the line is in theory, is that we're trying to, you know, divide action, get as much money on Team A as we are on Team B. In this case, you know, as much money on Pittsburgh as you get on Kansas City. Now, it never works out that you have, you know, the exact amount of money wagered on both teams, and you kind of, it's a bit of a feeling out process as well. Now, remember, too, I think people kind of lose sight of this, that once the opening number goes out there, you're no longer betting against their sports book. You're betting against other bettors. The bulls and bears going against each other. These are assets we're talking about, and you know, and prices as well. So the price of being 4.5 and 5, you know, where do you like? Are you bullish or are you bearish on these things? So once the number is out there, we're just kind of facilitating the exchange of bets on these teams. Sometimes it runs away from us when we're wrong, but we move as much as we can in terms of pricing.
All right, let's go to game 273, 274 here. A few more sides in the NFL. We had all the totals in college, it seems like. But game 273, 274 is Miami and the New York Jets. This is another game that's of great interest to me, very intriguing line. You know, we talk about perception, we talk about overreaction, we talk about how these teams are evaluated. The Jets and Sam Darnold look pretty good on Monday Night Football, which generally carries over into the next week. Maybe that's a little bit of the reason why we saw the sharp action on this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny with the Jets. I mean, that way that game started, it was just like, I mean, just a horrible start for the quarterback there, you know, Sam Darnold. And then you look at his numbers by game's end, it was just like, wow. I mean, he put up some really good numbers, and he looked really quite comfortable. So looks like the Jets, you know, finally might have a quarterback at the helm who can get them there. And again, too, you touched about, you know, the early reaction to a team, how good they look opening week and stuff like that, or just the previous week. There's a lot of short-term memory in terms of bettors, you know, who'll look at one game and try and translate that to the next game. Now, one thing when you look at how, you know, how good the Jets looked last week is how absolutely terrible Detroit looked. I mean, they were just terrible last week. So you kind of have to, it's a bit of a balancing act in terms of judging how far much better a team might be than the early perception, and maybe how bad the other team looked as well. In this case, you do see the line movement down from 3.5 on the Jets down to 3 where we are right now, but it's like 3 and dog money, like 3 even money is what we are. So Miami, instead of being +3 -110, you're looking at 3 -120 from the 3.5 -110. So a lot of movement on this number. I also see some 2.5 -15 out there. So this is really, you know, we're sitting at 3 right now trying to hold the number because we did take the big sharp bet on Miami +3.5. And I also do have a wager count almost 2-1 favoring Miami. So I've got decent money in terms of, you know, the actual dollar volume both sides. I've got some bigger bets coming back on the Jets as well. But the sharp money was on Miami at the 3.5. And again, you know, we're looking at +3 -110 to +3.5 -110 to +3 -120 where it is right now. It's really quite a dramatic drop, both in terms of talking about the number and the juice you're laying.
Excuse me. So does this number close 3? I mean, do you think 3 is a good number here, or do you feel like you may have to go to 2.5 after all?
Yes. Yes to both. No, honestly, I mean, we're going to try and hold the 3 as much as we can. We'll probably go 20, maybe 25. And at that point, the money still keeps coming in on Miami. We'll just, you know, the market's going to dictate what we have to do. We have to break the number. We will.
All right, one more game to touch on here in this week's version of the Odds Report. That is Monday Night Football. Seattle takes on Chicago, game 289-290. Obviously, there'll be a big handle for this game because it's Monday Night Football. What does the early action look like here, Brent?
Yeah, it's not often that we get to talk about a game like this on a Thursday, but we do have Monday night action in terms of sharp money coming in, which is always nice to talk about. Seattle is on the road at Chicago. We're sitting Chicago -3.5 right now, and again, like Chicago being a favorite on Monday night football, just kind of seems like when was the last time that ever happened? And Seattle, it's not like Seattle, is not a decent team. I mean, they have been for years and years. But I do have sharp money on this game here on Chicago -3. So that's the reason for the bump up to 3.5 where we are right now. There are some books out there who are using like 3 -25 or 3.5 dog 15. I'm using 3.5 flat. And I'm getting, since I've gone to 3.5 flat, I'm getting, decent action both ways. My wager count actually favors Seattle. So I've got one of those spots we talked about again where a public and sharp split. Public money is backing Seattle more and sharper money on Chicago. So that's why I'm staying at the 3.5.
Brent, always a pleasure to chat with you, man, here about where the sharp money is out there in the betting market. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again next week.
Awesome. Have a great weekend, Adam.
Always fun there to chat with Brent from DSI Sportsbook, the head risk manager down there, keeping an eye on all this stuff out there in both the college football and the NFL betting markets. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll be joined by Joe Everett from NFL Draft Bible for our NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football preview. We'll take a look at this Seahawks versus Bears game. Then we'll wrap things up for Monday's show with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com for our college football first look. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.